Thank you, Robin. Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be up here today on Mother's Day, and we're going to do something slightly different. We're going to do a comfy chair interview with two very inspirational women. I'm going to introduce the first lady, but hopefully she'll be able to tell you a little bit more about herself. This is Abby. Could we give Abby a warm welcome, please? So Abby is amazing. Abby's been here almost 2 years, and she's got a really significant job and a significant role in our community. So Abby, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey so far?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me. So I'll start from the very beginning. I was born in Nigeria, as most of you know, and so I was born into a very Christian family. So I didn't have a very dramatic knowing Christ, because I just grew up with my parents being very steadfast and very, very into Christ. So I grew. I'm the firstborn, so it was important for me to model being good and being upright and being the good child, you know, since when I was little. So I was would say the textbook, you know, definition of being a good daughter. I was always very good in school. I was always commended. I was upright. I was straight A's all the time and all that. So it was very natural for me to just read medicine, because back home you'd be a doctor, you'd be a lawyer, you'd be an engineer. So it was just right for me to, you know, go into medicine. You know, I went into med school because I would say it was the next thing for me to do. I was intelligent and all that. And for me, it got to a point where I was just doing things that was expected of me, and I needed to really discover what I wanted. You know, so, you know, I did a bit of searching for myself and digging into what I really wanted to be and what I really wanted to do. And that was when I would say I accepted Christ as for myself, that what my parents wanted me to believe and what my parents wanted me to do or go into. So that was a dramatic point, really, and that was my fourth year. I think that was about 2009, 2008, my fourth year in medical school. And there's been no going back since then, because it was then what I wanted and what I chose for myself rather than what people wanted me to do or what my parents wanted me to do. And, that's a bit of my story. And if you asked my siblings now, it would be that how they decided to do what was right for them or what was what has brought them to the point where they are now, because they are doing very well. It's by watching Bimbo. They call me Bimbo back home, be the good child. And for me, it's one of my strong points I'm really proud of, that I was able to model to them, you know, that those good traits and those good characters that they've also imbibed, you know, in their lives.
And now I know where Adamidi gets it from. So can you tell us a little bit about your family and kind of your life now that you're here in the United Kingdom?
I've got a very, very supportive husband, Jay. He is everything. So I'll start from when I was in med school. So again, as I said, I was a very good girl, so I wasn't like really partying and all that. I was just into my books. And at some point, my parents really wondered how I would meet a boy, because, you know, so I didn't really have, you know, relationships. I don't know how to put it, not to sound very, you know. But so I met my husband through a very good friend of mine. I went to a friend of mine was dating his cousin. And then, of course, I was single at that time. And they said, oh, I have a very good guy, something. And then, you know, he looked for me on Facebook. And he didn't say anything. And I was like, okay, this guy's not saying anything. He's not saying anything. He's not saying anything. And then a month after, I just said hi. I was like, hi. So, and, you know, we didn't meet until a month or so after, but I was really into him then, and well, still now, anyway. Yeah. fast forward, I mean, you know, we got married and all that, and he had a very established career back home in Nigeria. So when we decided that I would move, it was a very tough decision, you know, because again, it was very established. It was easy for me to move because, you know, being a doctor, I already had a job waiting for me here. So I left. It was just 2019. It was when I left Nigeria, December. And the plan was I would move first, and then eventually it would, when he was okay for him to move in terms of job and, you know, career progression, that he would move. And it was the most isolating time of my life, really, because I moved just before COVID started. And it was just me, and my daughter was back home. I had very supportive, my mother-in-law, my mother were looking after them. So it was very hard for me to move here, and I questioned my decisions to move a lot of times because I felt like I was moving away from my comfort zone. I mean, the loving arms of my husband, my family, and I was coming here, and I was just alone, and it was really tough for me. And then I'll talk to my husband, I would say, whatever you do, don't get on the plane and come back to Nigeria. So, but I've found this place as home now because my family is with me, and home is where my family is, really. And it was a very tough decision to move here. But having now established myself, I mean, we've settled down here quite very well. And I think it helps that we came into, so when we moved to London, and, you know, it's very diverse, so we didn't really feel like we're moving so far from, we had family and all that. So it was a bit of a tough time when we moved to Redditch as well. But I'd say that we've established our roots. My daughter has found her place. I have a little son as well who I'm sure would find this place. For me, finding a church, maybe I'm preempting your next question.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, like, what does being part of this Oasis family mean to you? And you've just started to talk about that.
Yeah, so it was very important for me to be part of a good church, just because when you feel like you've settled down in a place and you have your career going, you can get very carried away with the things that you were praying for. So the things that I was praying for, I mean, a good family, a good job, my family generally, they were okay. Everything was all right. And it felt like those things now shifted my attention a little bit to what really made those things be, you know. So I needed to, you know, together with my husband, we needed to be proactive and intentional about finding a church that was family-oriented, that was warm, that was accepting. And we did a little bit of, you know, searching. And I sent an email, I remember very clearly, I sent an email to Pastor Robin. I just found it, I just Googled, really. And I sent an email to the church, I would say. And a couple of churches didn't reply me. And Pastor Robin replied me and said, oh, you're welcome, come in, let's have a chat. And, you know, he replied. And then Asha replied and said, oh, we have a very brilliant children's church. We do this, we do that. And he wrote a very long email that I felt like, I mean, it wasn't just, oh, come, you're just another person. It was like, come, we really want you to be here. You'd be welcome and you'd be accepted and you'd have, your child would have a place here. And it was very heartwarming. And since I've been here, I haven't, you know, gone back and thought, oh, am I making the right decision? Because, I mean, I've seen my daughter grow. She knows about Jesus. She's able to talk about it when you ask her. And in a place or in a world where it's easy for your children to be, you know, influenced and to not know about Christ, or it was cool not to know about Christ, it was important for me to let her know that it's cool to know about Christ and be proud of it. And that, for me, is very important. And sorry, I'm just prolonging this. I enjoy the transparency in the church as well, and being able to talk to someone about what really bothers you, how we pray for each other's sicknesses, you know, name them and pray for it. It's very, I feel it's a really good thing, yeah.
Well, it's really good to hear. Obviously, Abby settled in amazingly, and so has her children and her family. One last question for you, Abby. What does a relationship with Jesus mean to you? You have touched on it a little bit, but just could you explain a bit?
So my relationship with Jesus, the unique thing about it, about Jesus, is that it can be anything to you at a particular time, and that changes as well. So sometimes it could be your peace, or it could be, he's been my peace when I'm troubled or wanting answers about things. And at the moment, I'll talk very briefly about what he is to me at the moment, and he's my confidence and my sufficiency. The reason why I've said that is I've just returned to work after maternity leave, and I have been suffering a massive amount of imposter syndrome. So I would say the reason is that whilst I was on maternity leave, I passed a very important exam. It was one of the most difficult exams ever. And that meant that I needed to step up in my role as a, we call it medical registrar role, and it's one of the most difficult medicine role, really, in the hospital. So I found myself feeling like I do not deserve to be there. And the fact that I'd been away for a while didn't help my anxiety. And I would think, are you sure? You know those feelings, basically. And I've had to tackle it in a place of prayer and a bit of telling myself that remove the medical degree, remove the exams that you've passed and the profession. You are a child of God. You are sufficient. You walk into a place and you know that you deserve to be there because you carry Christ in you. So I've had to be constantly telling myself that, Bimbo, you deserve to be here. And I found that has really, really helped me. And that is the beauty of knowing Christ, because it can be anything to you at that moment. I needed him to feel that I'm enough and I'm more than enough. And I'm going to conquer this place, that I'm in, in this present moment. So my relationship with Christ, it could be better in the sense of, being closer to God and all that, and I'm working, on that. But it's the uniqueness that this moment, this is what I need him to be, and this is how I'm working towards even better things that he'll do for me. That's what I found very interesting.
Wow. Isn't that an amazing testimony, really? Because let's give her a clap, yeah. When I first asked Abby if she would do this interview on Mother's Day, she said, "What, me? I can't do that." I said, "Abby, you're a medical doctor. Of course you can do that." Abby is amazing. But yeah, as you said, you did suffer a little bit of a knock in terms of your confidence. But it's really encouraging to hear that putting God first in that situation, that you've been able to overcome that and you're thriving now at work, I think it's fair to say. So, one more round of applause. Thank you, Abby. So next up for our second interview, we've got Emma Marshall. Warm welcome to Emma. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Thanks for joining us. So lots of you might have seen Emma around and you might know a little bit about her, but I'm going to ask her to introduce herself and kind of tell us a little bit about where you're at in your journey so far.
Thank you. So I'll kind of go back to the beginning as well so that you've got a bit of an idea about where I came from. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I actually had quite a hard start to life. So when I was 15 months old, my biological mother basically decided she didn't want to be a mom anymore and put me in foster care behind my dad's back. So we then had a massive battle for my dad to get me back. And that meant my first few years, my first memories really, are not pleasant ones. I was put into a foster care where they didn't care about me, and they actually physically hurt me. And that kind of then set the tone for the rest of my life. To have gone through that at such a young age and to have felt unworthy of love really does have a knock on how you then grow up. So to be where I am today is actually quite a big growth for me. I've gone through a lot. I'm really grateful, of course. Mother's Day is a great day to say who I'm thankful for, and my grandmother and my stepmother both gave me such unconditional love that it made me feel like actually maybe I am worthy, maybe I can get through this. So I'd say to anyone out there, if you are not a biological parent, but you are a parent, you are still incredibly important. That growth for me, and my mom is now not even my stepmom. She divorced my dad about 15 years ago, but she's still my mom. Mm. And we went and saw her yesterday, and she messaged me this morning. And to her, she says, I've got 5 children. She never, ever says that I'm not hers. She's my mom. She raised me from the age of 4. I remember the day I was going to go and meet her. My dad said to me, I've got you a present. And I was sat in the car going, what is it? I was 4 years old, and he picked me up from my grandparents. I'm like, have I got a swimming pool? You know, what have I got? And then he goes, I've got you a mommy. And he'd only met her 2 weeks before that, so he'd had a big decision. He'd been looking for a mom for me, because that was the thing. He wasn't allowed to have me back until he had a wife, until he was married. Wow. So I came to Redditch then when I was 5 and a half years old. And then Redditch is so dear to me, because this is where I got the family I always wanted. This is where I found a mom and a dad and even brothers and sisters. So Redditch is extremely special to me for that.
Wow. Not really sure what to ask after that. That's incredible. So obviously, like, you settled down in Redditch, you kind of grew up in Redditch, and tell us how you kind of met your husband and your life more recently.
So I was actually a single mom. I'd got my eldest 2 children, and I'd been through, again, a bit of a rough patch there. I'd been a victim of domestic violence, and I'd been homeless with 2 kids, and I'd managed to pull myself back up from all that. I'd got myself a place, I'd got myself a job, and I'd managed to start getting to the point where I liked myself again. When you go through domestic violence, you are just so low. You feel like you're, again, that worthlessness. Mm-hmm. And that had been something that had kind of came with me. I hadn't quite got over what happened with my mother yet, let alone then this situation that I'd been in. And I sat in my garden one night, and I just prayed to God. I said, please, I want a man who will love my children as though they're his own, who will support me and love me for who I actually am, not wanting me to be anything different. And I don't want to be rich, God, but can we just be comfortable? Mm-hmm. So 4 months later, I'm sat in my sister's kitchen, and in walks my husband. He literally just walked in, and that was it. From the moment we saw each other, I basically said, what are you doing tonight? And he went, I'm going out with my mates. And I went, biff them off and come out with me. And he did.
And the rest is history. So you've got 2 more children?
So we've got 3 children each. So I've got 2 stepchildren, and I've got 3 of my own. So our youngest one, Finley, is both of ours together. We've got one of those blended families. It's very interesting, because you have to keep track of where each child is at each point. My eldest daughter, she's 21, so she's my stepdaughter. We talk about step, you know, and I love her as she's mine. She's coming at uni, and we are so proud of her. She's studying to be in child psychology. She wants to be a psychologist. Amazing. Nurse, so I'm really proud of her. And then our eldest son, he's 20, and he's in the Navy. Super, super proud of him. He actually had ADHD as well as he was growing up, so to find him now being able to really focus himself into such an important task. And he came home once and told us how he'd been chasing submarines. I was like, oh my gosh, completely terrified for him, but super proud too. And then you've all met the other 2, Finley and Aidan, who come here, and they are very interesting characters. I love them loads, and they are so independent. They're you can't tell them what to do.
No, and you can't tell them what to say on a video recording either. Finley had great ideas, and we had to cull them. But so can you tell us, like, what a relationship with Jesus means to you? So you've just joined this church, and kind of where you're at.
So I have been church members of other churches, and actually I was invited here. So, and the invitation was so important, because that meant then I could come and have a look and see. And I came home and I went, I really like this church. I want us to go again. I really felt there was such a wonderful aura in here of people who were all kind of on the same page with God, with Jesus. Obviously, I've prayed. I prayed for my husband, so I know that he does answer you. He does come back to you. In fact, even just yesterday, and I know it sounds so silly, so I'm standing for election in May, and I'm going out and I'm delivering loads of leaflets. But it's starting to get a bit warm, and I'm getting really hot, and I'm delivering these leaflets, and I just kind of go, oh, I wish there was a breeze right now. And this beautiful, perfect breeze just blew on my face and cooled me down. And I just felt, wow, that was... I hadn't really even... I just kind of went, oh, I'd love a breeze right now. And there it was, especially for me, it felt. So being able to now have a church where I can come and I can share how I feel about God, and I can bring my children so they can learn too, is really important to me. So I'm really thankful to Pastor Robin for making that invitation to me so I can now be part of you all.
Wow, that's really encouraging. Yeah, I mean, obviously Emma's touched on it. She is a councillor for the Conservative Party, which you might have heard of about before. Emma, obviously you spoke about your early life and kind of like the trauma that you'd been through and difficult situations kind of in your, you know, your early parenthood. How do you think God's worked in your life and to kind of like where you're at now?
So in terms of my career, when I had Finley, I kind of thought, what do I do now? You know, he's going to grow up and what am I going to do? I'm not really going to be able to do anything. And I didn't want to just be a home mom. I felt like I'd got something to give the world because of my experiences. I felt that I had an opportunity where I could help other people and I can give back. I can say, well, I've been through this. I've been through depression. I've been through being homeless. I can help these people to get their lives back into a position where hopefully they can be confident and they can be capable and they can move on, you know, kind of climbing that ladder. So I just had this urge, and you spoke about when God gives you urges to Nehemiah, and it's in your guts. Mm. And I just had this urge that I had to plant an orchard. And I kept saying, I need to plant an orchard. And at the time, my husband was like, that's never going to happen. What are you on about? You're just one person. How are you going to do that? Well, I did. I just went, I'll do it. So I contacted my local councillors, and I didn't get much support. So I went and just did it anyway, and I made this orchard. And that got everyone's attention, because 4 months, this orchard's there. And suddenly, everyone's going, who's this Emma Marshall? What's she doing? And my husband went, I'm your biggest fan. You can do anything. You know, literally, he went, nah, and that was it. It was done. So I was then asked, would I stand? And at first, I was like, no, don't be silly. And then I kept getting asked. And then that kind of thought, the feeling in me was, actually, this is where you're supposed to be going. Mm. And I followed that. So I'm a great believer of you pray to God, but you have to also listen, and you'll be guided. Yeah. It might not be the way you want to be guided, but you will be guided. So I listened and I went for it. I didn't ever think actually I was even going to be elected. And to my surprise, I was. I know that no matter what happens in May, I will still be able to help the community. I've been able to, in the last 3 years, make so many connections with so many people that no matter what happens, I'm going to be able to work with the Oasis Church and work with, say, Sandycroft Centre and all the other places I've been working with to continue helping and people going forward. So no matter what happens, I'm going to continue that journey.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And to have such a place in society and to be making such an impact, you are doing God's work. You know, as you said, those doors opened and he pushed you into something that you weren't really sure whether you were going to do, but you are his hands here, and you are working, which is amazing. Lastly, I just want to ask you, if you could summarise the Oasis family in 3 words... what would they be? Impromptu question.
You didn't give me that one as a preparation one. So, so it's a church for everyone, isn't it? I mean, I look across this room, and there are people from every part of Redditch, from all walks of life. It's the most diverse church I've probably ever been to, and it's a church that's it doesn't say things it doesn't mean. What they say here is what they actually mean, and it's working off what the book tells you rather than what popular opinion is. And you've touched on that as well recently about, you know, there's churches at the moment who seem to be going off. The Church of England seems to be, it doesn't seem to be doing, well, what I thought was a church's job, whereas this church seems to be very steadfast, and it's, and you've mentioned it, on solid ground. This church is on solid ground, and no, it's not three words, but that's that's as much as I can.
That's great.
Sorry.
Can we give Emma a warm round of applause? Thank you. So, two amazing women with two very different jobs, but two very, very important jobs. Yeah, I think we need to pray for them. Is that all right, Robin? Lord, let's pray for these two people now. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Abby and for Emma. Thank you that you placed a vision in both of their hearts, in both of their lives, Lord. Thank you for guiding them, for leading them, for putting them in places of authority and power and position, Lord. We just thank you for that. Lord, please continue to bless Abby and continue to bless Emma and their families and their children, Lord. Continue to guide their footsteps and continue to go before them, Lord, and open all the doors that you want them to step into. Lord, we thank you for these amazing women. In Jesus' name, amen.